Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We're continuing our conversation with Greg and Amy Williams about their new book, The Authority of Love. We really encourage you to pick up a copy of that. Go to their website, loveandlordship.com. Just everything for the authority of love, the story of two kingdoms, talks about discipleship, looking at relationships, marriage, family, parenting. This book's got something for everybody. So whether you're single like me or you just got married, really encourage for people that are newlyweds or maybe been married for 25 years or more, really want to encourage you to pick up a copy of this book. As I shared yesterday, nobody's had more influence other than my parents on my spiritual growth than Greg Williams. And yesterday, Greg, we started talking about from the book, you do a lot of counseling and do a great job with that, both with men and then with couples. And you talked about, you know, the lordship, who's lord of your life first, instead of just looking at the root issues, but looking at that. And you were starting to tell about a great story about the world, the flesh, and Father Smith.
Yeah, that's a book, Greg, that was written. Thanks again, by the way, for having me on again. And but that was a book written by Bruce Marshall. He was, I think, a Scottish theologian from back in maybe 100 years or so ago, but before our time. But he wrote this book, and in the book, there's a section there where a lady is approaching him about the brothels and the things that are going on there. And he looks at her, and I use this quote in the book. He said, "Lady, every man that knocks on the door of a brothel is seeking the heart of God." And the problem is when you only address the problems that come from what they're seeking and don't actually point them to what the only thing that can replace it, then they're going to go back to something else. And so that's the purpose of that design, that diagram that I have on page 19, I think it is again. And you ask about in yesterday's program, is we got to start with, do you understand? And probably 80 to 90% of the people I meet with are call themselves Christians. Now, I'm not questioning their salvation. I'm just saying they say that, but they're living so far from the Lord. And that's what's created their issues and their problems. And so we got to go back. And while at the end of each session, I might give them something to do, I always remind them that if you're not willing to spend some time with Him, as we talked about yesterday, and some time in the Word, this is only going to be temporary. You're going to be knocking on that door. And I say to them, you may not be knocking on the door of a brothel, but you may be knocking on that link for pornography or drugs or alcohol or gambling or anything, fame or whatever it may be. You're really seeking God, but you're finding things that will never satisfy. So they'll keep coming back. So that's why the lordship discipleship thing at the top of that diagram are absolutely important. If we can establish that and get them to see that, then we can move on and really have a chance for them to change their life. That's what He does, the Lord does, and then they can begin to remove those problems.
Well, I heard somebody say many years ago that, you know, all addictions are a substitution for God.
Yeah, that same thing. Yeah.
No matter what it is that you shared, under so many things. And, you know, I had a guy one time that he gave me his Home Depot card because he liked doing little home remodeling projects, but he had bought like stuff for three different ones, but hadn't completed all of them. And he was on his way to the store to buy some more stuff for one because he saw a great sale. And his wife said, "Hey, if you go and buy anything else from Home Depot, your stuff will be in the front yard." And don't know if that would have happened, but it may have. Yeah, but he got the point. And so he gave me his Home Depot card and said, "Man, keep this." And so sometimes a simple thing of dealing with addiction is just get rid of the source.
Yep. And make yourself accountable. And that's what he did with both of them. He took the source away and said, "I'll be accountable to you. I'm handing you the card." And so now you've taken away the immediate opening, and you've made yourself accountable before you open it up again. He was going to have to come to you and say, "Can I have my card?" Okay, did you do what your wife said? You know, did you finish the projects or whatever? Yeah. That's what he was asking you to do, and you did it. And we do that ourselves. You and I do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. One of the things I like in your book is that you've got study guides at the end of each section and some of the chapters, and you have some key concepts. And I want to touch base on some of those because I really think people listening, most of the people listening to me are followers of Jesus. But one of the simple questions you just ask, and we talked about a little bit yesterday, but I feel like people need to be asked this again: whoever is your Lord or authority defines your truth. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I say it a couple of ways. I made it simple in the key concepts there, but I say whoever is your Lord, or whoever is your Lord, reveals how you're living your life. However you're living your life reveals who is Lord. And if other parts of the book that we haven't talked about yet, but there's only two kingdoms, so there's only two kings. Now, the Bible even talks about kingdoms in Israel and Canaan and those kinds of things. So there is this picture that we all have these little kingdoms. But ultimately, when all is said and done, there's only going to be two left. So we're either under Christ's kingship, lordship, or we're under Satan's. It's that simple. And we need to know that. And many people are claiming to be under Christ's lordship, but the truth of their life, according to that concept you just quoted, the truth of their life says something completely different. You see, so you can flip it around. The truth you live your life by reveals who your Lord is, or whoever is your Lord is going to reveal the truth and the life that you live. And I try and help people understand that, because it's so, Paul said in Galatians 6, don't deceive yourself. Don't claim to be this, but not, because he said, went on to say, God can't be mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And we just, that stinking law of the harvest, we can't get around it, man. It is going to reveal who we are. And so that concept you just mentioned really is the law of the harvest. I can say all I want that Christ is Lord. What's the reality and the truth and the way you're living your life? It'll be revealed.
Well, and then you ask another question, or you make a statement, which I think it's a question we have to ask ourselves, and I have to kind of do this about three or four times a year, kind of reevaluate. You said that your choices reveal your priorities in life.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody say one long time ago that, you know, you want to see somebody's priorities, look at their calendar and their checkbook, right?
Yeah. And you talk about, we get into that with couples all the time. When I'm meeting with couples, I'll go, if you're having trouble figuring out what your priorities, just give me your checkbook and your calendar, and I'll tell you what they are, right? That's the point. It says your choices reveal the priorities in your life. So in other words, back to your first statement that we got from the book there, don't keep saying that this is important when all your choices say that other things are important. Because another quote that many people have said, we've heard it before, all of us have heard it, but people say your priorities reveal your life. In other words, whatever you find time for, that's what this priority in your life. It doesn't matter what you're saying. Whatever you're doing tells what's most important in your life. That's your priorities. And so, yeah, we have talk a little bit about, but we have a thing. If you want to ask that question, however you want to do that, man, because I think it's a good thing that helps so many people.
Yeah, you gave a little exercise for people to do, and I love things that, you know, you can actually apply. You hear stuff, but, man, nothing like writing some things down. I'll share about this little practice that you gave for people to try.
Yeah, well, I call it the Lordship or the Priorities Activity. And I was speaking at an FCA state conference or something 25 years ago, and Coach Keith Madison, former baseball coach, UK. His sons were at Lexington Christian when I was the athletic director and basketball coach there. And so I got to know him, and we were both asked to speak. And when he got up, he gave this, what I'm going to share with you, this priorities activity. When he got done, I said, Coach, that's really poignant. I think it'd be really effective. It's a good, that really is a visual, if you will write it down and do it, of what's really important in your life. So who's Lord in your life, as we were saying earlier? I said, can I use that? And he goes, it's not mine. I got it from somebody else, so have at it. You know. So I said, sure. So now I got it in a book. You know. So, but anyway, it's simple. I ask people in a conference, or if I'm speaking in a series or somewhere, some men or couples or whatever, I ask them to take a sheet of paper, and I'm holding up a piece of paper right now, and a blank sheet of paper, and I go, just write down the middle of the paper, put a line down the middle so you have two columns. And then I tell them, on the left side, write down, be as brutally honest with yourself as you can. Write down the priorities in your life that have gotten you to where you are today. If you're struggling with things, if you've had problems, if you had, you know, bad history or whatever, what is it? What were the choices that you made based on those priorities? Because that's what it'll be. And be honest with yourself and outline those on the left side. Just give four or five. You know, if it's cars, if it's drugs, if it's pornography or pornea, if it's alcohol, if it's your marriage, church, whatever.
Golf.
Right. Hobbies. Any of those things, right. So write those down as quickly as you can. Just take a minute or so. Write four or five if you can. And I said, now on the right side, the right column, write down what you know as best you can, what your priorities ought to be in line with God's covenant order. Okay. And I go, whatever you do, don't put church at the top. Okay. Because it doesn't belong there. Because when we place the body, I said this last year when we were on, we placed the body above the head, we're in idolatry. So we're still there. But you can put God and Christ on top. It's the only head I'm going to give you in the whole thing. So they take 3 or 4 minutes and write these things down. Then I come back and I go, now, this might be hard for some of you to do because we're here in a Christian conference and we're doing these things. Take your pen or your pencil and remove God and Christ from the top of the right column. You know, and I go, okay, now pick your jaw up off the floor. I told you to do that because that's the boxes that you talked about last time, Greg. Mm-hmm. We write down God first and then marriage and family and church. And we go, good. I spend a little time with God. I took my family to church. I took my wife on a date night. Those are all good things to do. But if our heart's not in it, we're just checking boxes. And we all know what that looks like. So I say, take God and Christ off the top of the right column and go over here in the little margin that I ask them to leave in the left column. And I go, how many of you put pornography in the first one? And if it's men, like 95% of them, if not 100, will raise their hand. That's the number one thing in their life. And they're being brutally honest. And I go, how many put drugs or alcohol? How many put golf or hobbies? How many of you put marriage, family, work, church? I said, see, I just listed 4 or 5 obvious sins, but I listed 4 or 5 good things that do not need to be above Christ, but they are in our lives. I said, now, on that first one, those of you who put porn or put gambling or drugs or whatever, write Christ in front of that. And then I pause for a few seconds. I go, now, the second one, how many of you put alcohol or drugs or church or marriage or family, whatever, put Christ in front of that. And then go on down the list. You made 4, 5, or 6. Put Christ in front of every one of them. They get done with that. I go, how many of you have somewhere on that list Christ in front of porn? And they do what you just did. They kind of laugh and go, yeah. I said, it looks kind of odd, doesn't it? I said, how many of you have Christ in front of work or marriage or family or church? Yeah. I said, let me give you 2 things. You can try all you want. This is what the law told us. This is why the ABC 1-2-3 alone won't work. You can try to put Christ first and then go, well, I'm going to get rid of all these things. But if he's not really first, you can't remove those things that don't belong in your life. They'll win out. The old man will win. So the only one that can remove porn and gambling and drugs and alcohol and those things is Christ. So he will remove the things that don't belong. But the second part is Christ is the only one that can reorder your life in the right way so that he's first. Your marriage, your family, the church, others. He's the only one who can do both of those. That's why his lordship is so important. And then I say, so who's the priority in your life? Mm. And they begin to get it.
Yep.
It's a good visual. So appreciate you pointing that out because that's a really strong one.
Well, I think the thing too, Satan lies to us is that, you know, he makes you feel like there's no way you can overcome whatever those things you substitute for Jesus in your life, and yet the whole key's just getting started.
Right. You know? Exactly. And you, if you go in my book where I start talking about the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines, right at the bottom of the page, I say, you know, I talk about 2 things you need to be a disciple, any kind of discipline, mm-hmm. commitment and manageability. If you don't make it manageable, you won't keep the commitment. That's why God didn't say, go make zealots. He said, go make disciples, disciplined ones that can start. And at the bottom, I put 5 minutes a day. Yeah. If you start and you stick with it, that's how the change comes. And we have the grace to do it if we'll stick with it.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. The good news is that we're going to continue our conversation with Greg, and Amy Williams is going to be with us tomorrow. They wrote a book called The Authority of Love. I want to encourage you to go to their website, loveandlordship.com, and get a copy of that. I know that you'll be blessed. I have, and I've had a couple friends that are reading it and just being totally blessed by it. So go check it out at loveandlordship.com and join us again tomorrow. Invite a friend as we continue our conversation about the authority of love on Hope Is Here.
Do you have goals and ideas, but life always seems to get in the way? Do you need to hit a reset for this year? Hi, I'm Twyla Brown, and on May 22nd, I'll be in Lexington hosting a workshop called Cue the Confetti, Preparing to Celebrate Your Best Life. I'll help you define what matters most in your world so that you can create a life that points you towards your goals while protecting your priorities. In this workshop, you'll learn how to create a vision board and strategically plan your week, month, and year like a business. To find out more information, visit online at twylabrown.com. That's twylabrown.com. I can't wait to meet you.